Okay. Numbers chapter 26. Then it came about after the plague that the Lord spoke to Moses and to Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saying, Take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel from 20 years old and upward, and by their father's households, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel. So Moses and Eleazar the priest spoke with them in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho, saying, Take a census of the people from 20 years old and upward, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the sons of Israel who came out of the land of Egypt were Reuben, Israel firstborn, the sons of Reuben, of Hanok, the family of the Hanokites, of Palu, the family of the Paluites, of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Carmi, the family of the Carmites. These are the families of the Reubenites, and those who were numbered of them were 43,730. And the sons of Palu, Eliab. The sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram. Those of Dathan and Abiram were called by the congregation who contended against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah when they contended against the Lord. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up along with Korah. When that company died, and when the fire devoured 250 men, they became a warning. The sons of Korah, however, did not die. The sons of Simeon, according to their families, of Nemuel, the family of the Nemuelites, of Jamin, the family of the Jamites, of Jachin, the family of the Jachinites, of Zerah, the family of the Zerahites, of Shaul, the family of the Shaulites. These are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. The sons of Gad, according to their families, of Zephon, the family of the Zephonites, of Haggai, the family of the Haggites, of Shuni, the family of the Shunites, of Ozni, the family of the Oznites, of Eri, the family of the Erites, of Ered, the family of the Eridites, of Areli, the family of the Arelites, and these are the families of the sons of Gad, according to those who were numbered of them, 40,500. The sons of Judah were Er and Onan, but Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Judah, according to their families, were of Shelah, the family of the Shelanites, of Perez, the family of the Perezites, of Zerah, the family of the Zerahites. And the sons of Perez were of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Hamul, the family of the Hamulites. These are the families of Judah, according to those who were numbered of them, 76,500. The sons of Issachar, according to the families of Tola, the family of the Tolites, of Puva, the family of the Punites, of Jashub, the family of the Jashubites, of Shimron, the family of the Shimronites. These are the families of Issachar, according to those who were numbered of them, 64,300. The sons of Zebulun, according to the families of Sered, the family of the Seredites, of Elon, the family of the Elonites, of Jalil, the family of the Jalilites. These are the families of the Zebulunites, according to those who were numbered of them, 60,500. The sons of Joseph, according to their families, Manasseh and Ephraim. The sons of Ephraim, of Machir, the family of the Machirites. And Machir became the father of Gilead, the family of the Gileadites. And these are the sons of Gilead, of Aizer, the family of the Aizerites, of Helek, the family of the Helekites, of Azrael, the family of the Azraelites, and Shechem, the family of the Shechemites, and of Shemida, the family of the Shemidites, and of Hefer, the family of the Heferites. Now, Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, had no sons, but only daughters. And the names of the daughters as of Zelophehad were Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. These are the families of Manasseh, and those who were numbered of them were 52,700. These are the sons of Ephraim, according to their families of Shuthelah, the family of the Shuthelites, of Becher, the family of the Becherites, of Tahan, the family of the Tahanites. And these are the sons of Shuthelah, of Aaron, the family of the Aaronites. These are the families of the sons of Ephraim, according to those who are numbered of them, 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph, according to their families. The sons of Benjamin, according to their families, of Bela, the family of the Belites, of Ashbel, the family of the Ashbelites, of Ahiram, the family of the Ahiramites, and Shephupham, the family of the Shephumites, of Hupham, the family of the Hupamites. And the sons of Bela were Ard and Naaman of Ard, and the family of Ardites of Naaman, the family of the Naamanites. These are the sons of Benjamin according to their families, and those who were numbered of them were 45,600. These are the sons of Dan according to their families, of Shuham, the family of the Shumites. These are the families of Dan according to their families. All the families of the Shumites according to those who were numbered of them were 64,400. The sons of Asher, according to their families, of Imnah, the family of the Imnites, of Ishvi, the family of the Ishvites, of Beriah, the family of the Berites, of the sons of Beriah, of Heber, and the sons and the family of Heberites, and Malkiel, the family of the Malkielites, and the name of the daughter of Asher was Sarah. And these are the families of the sons of Asher, according to those who were numbered of them, 53,400. The sons of Naphtali, according to their families, of Jaziel, the family of the Jazilites, of Guni, the family of the Gunites, of Jazir, the family of the Jezerites, of Shilim, the family of the Shilamites. These are the families of Naphtali, according to their families, and those who were numbered of them were 45,400. And those are who are numbered of the sons of Israel, 601,730. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, among these a land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To the larger group you shall increase their inheritance, and to the smaller group you shall diminish their inheritance. Each shall be given their inheritance according to those who are numbered of them. But the land shall be divided by lot. They shall receive their inheritance according to the names of the tribes of the fathers, according to the selection by lot. Their inheritance shall be divided between the larger and the smaller groups, and these are those who were numbered of the Levites according to their families, of Gershon, the family of the Gershonites, of Kohath, the family of the Kohathites, of Merari, the family of the Merites. These are the families of Levi, the families of the Libnites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Mahlites, the family of the Mushites, the family of the Korahites, and Kohath became the father of Amram. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt, and she bore Amram and Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. And to Aaron were born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord, and those who were numbered of them were 23,000, every male from a month old and upward, for they were not numbered among the sons of Israel, since no inheritance was given to them among the sons of Israel. These are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar, the priests, who numbered the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. But among these were not there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and not a man was left of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Amen. So they're just about ready to go into the promised land, and so now we have to set a census. It was taken; they were numbered to go into this place, and they were allotted a portion depending on their the size of each of their tribes. But really, I mean, the key goes all the way back at the end. That none of them came in. If you remember, there was a divine moment, and these guys, unfortunately, you know, way back in the beginning of Numbers, and unfortunately, when they sent out each of the spies, they came back with an unfavorable report, except for two of them. And the Lord, in his anger, burned against them and said, well, okay, this is going to be your punishment, that not one of you will enter in this land except for Caleb and Joshua. And so you basically have a fulfillment of all these that happened. Now, most of these tribes, most of them actually grew in number. Some actually decreased quite a bit. And if you look at it, number one, the one tribe that actually diminished the most was Simeon's tribe, the Simeonites. And that was actually the chapter before. The Simeonites were the ones primarily that went and had relations with the daughters of Moab. And as a result, you know, 23 or whatever of them were swallowed up. And that was primarily the loss that Simeon received, the amount of the loss was during that time. Another family that also became a little thinned out during this time were the Reubenites. And the Reubenites, primarily because of the sin of Kohath, if you remember, and going all the way back. In fact, he talks about it here, the sins of Korah, and they begin to grumble and contend against the Lord, and so swallows them up. And so there's a huge loss. So if you look at going all the way back from the first census when they left Egypt, and now to this census, if you actually do the math, they're down 1,890 people. Most of the tribes grew in number again. Some grew quite a lot. Some diminished quite a lot. And a lot of the diminishing was really as a result of their sin. And there are a couple of other tribes that lost about, their net decrease is about 8,000. And it mentions here and there that there's basically some fishy business going on within these tribes. And so, you know, one of the ways that you can look at this is that when we talk about walking with the Lord, when we talk about I mean, just purely living life, you know, in the Lord, there should be growth. You guys understand that, right? I mean, there should just be natural growth that happens. I'm talking about spiritually. As we walk with God, we should just simply be growing. That's, have you ever heard this phrase, all living things grow? It's a constant in nature. All living things, if they live, they grow. And so when you stop living is when you don't grow anymore. And so as a result, when we think about this, and, you know, and some people say, well, you know, P. Sam, how about, you know, people that are old, right? I mean, they don't seem to grow. You know, actually, they do grow. I don't know if you knew this, but apparently there are two things that keep growing regardless of your age. You know what they are? It's really interesting. Your nose and your ears. Right, I mean, that's why, I mean, you know, look at an old man, got humongous ears, man. Right, it's just one of those things, you know, by nature. So this is one of the things. People just grow. It's a result of simply walking with the Lord. And so, you know, with that in mind, we see really the net result of people that didn't walk with the Lord, and as a result, their numbers were dwindled during this time. So there's the one deal with all the you know, all the tribes. This was 20 and above. And then remember the same idea that goes for the Levites. And the Levites came up to about 23,000, you know, and so they're fairly close to, you know, grew a lot during this time. And so, but they're only numbered from a month up and upward during this time. And so the one part that you want to look at a little bit is when they received the land, they were given lots. This is one of the only times in the Bible, and lots are basically, if you think about it, they were giving sticks, and you know, short stick, long stick, whatever. And that was just purely, I don't want you to misunderstand. It wasn't like a random giving of land. But it was just meant to depict where exactly you're going to be, either north, south, east, or west. It wasn't like, okay, you're going to get the best land, or you're going to get this, or your people. But the amount was still the same. If you had more people, you got more land. It's just a very natural thing, right? And so the lot was cast. It was more in terms of the location of where they'd be in this land. So it really didn't have much of an effect, per se, about what's going on here. One of the things that you'll notice is the, again, going back to the priesthood, you know, the Levites, these guys, they received no land whatsoever, you know. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, why, you know, why, as men that are about to do the service of the Lord, why would they get nothing, and these guys, you know, get an inheritance? And you know, and as I was thinking about it more and more, I was thinking, you know what, it would be really important for these Levites to not to entangle themselves in the affairs of man, in the service of the priesthood, you know, in the service of offering sacrifices to the Lord. You know, it was pretty important for them to be able to just totally trust God and not get caught up into the affairs of land ownership and, you know, and all these different things, because, you know, with it comes, you know, all kinds of different things, a part of that. And I realized, man, these Levites, they really, really had to simply trust God. I mean, they really had to place their lives in God's hand to do his work. You know, and quite honestly, I don't think that's ever changed at all, right? Every servant of the Lord, at the end, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're not allowed to own land. That's not what I'm saying here. But there should be a part of their heart that they should be solely devoted and dedicated to God, that he is their total sustenance, and not any possession they can own or anything else. With the, you know, there's no security in their life except for the security of the Lord. I think that's a huge thing that goes into this. Now, let me wrap this up by just making a conclusion here. You know, one of the aspects of this, and this is a real, I mean, this is really a narrative that's coming to an end, per se. And every single person that, you know, a part of the group, and so it's almost in a way like guilt by association as well. Every single person that didn't jump at the opportunity, you know, some 38 years, 39 years now before then, they didn't enter into the promised land. And there is a severe judgment. There is a severe punishment for disobedience. And I think, you know, for me, I really, in many ways, relate this to really the whole issue of heaven and hell. Right? I know that people don't like to talk about this all that much, but when God brings an opportunity, in other words, when Holy Spirit is bringing an opportunity to a person to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they do not, right? You know, regardless of what else is going on, they do not, they don't get into the promised land. And God, you know, with his beloved Israelites, and because of their disobedience, you know, in a matter, in a divine moment, and they don't. They say no, and they grumble, or whatever the case may be. They don't get in. I mean, I know that's really harsh of a statement, but it's just the reality. There are consequences to sin. There's consequences to unbelief. And if you look all, especially when you go through the book of Hebrews, there'll be a phrase that's quoted quite a bit. And he says, and they did not enter the rest because of their unbelief. You know, the writer of Hebrews says that about 5, 6, 7 times. They did not enter the rest because of their unbelief. And so when you draw this out, in a moment when the Spirit of God is moving, that's in many ways what's called quenching the Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord is moving, convicting us, and we don't, ultimately trust Christ, you don't enter into this eternal rest, right? Now, I'm not talking about Christians per se. Obviously, if you're a Christian, that means you trusted him. But I'm talking about the pre-believers. You get to this point. That's why it's imperative that we pray for open hearts. We pray for a receptivity to understand. And I mean, that's why we pray for people's salvation all the time. Because, I mean, there's not too many prayer requests in our life that are life and death. But this is literally life and death. And so we need to pray for people to have their eyes open. We need to pray against the enemy, right, that he is blinding the minds of the unbelievers, and that the scales would come off their eyes. And it's important for us to enter into these type of prayers, because there is punishment for the Israelites. Every single male above 20, outside of, if you're going to be technical, it's actually really only 4 people: Joshua, Caleb, and then the 2 sons of Aaron. Around that time, but they're not counted because, you know, the Levites is different counting. And so only these guys enter in. And it's quite an amazing thing. In that same regard, there's people in this world right now that have not trusted in Jesus that we're ministering to. We need to continue to pray for their salvation. Pray that the scales come off their eyes, because it is, again, it is an issue of life and death. Amen? So let's close our eyes. So appropriately, let's pray this morning. You have friends, family members, colleagues that don't know Jesus. Let's pray for that opportunity of God to enter in. They would trust Christ as their Lord and Savior instead of trusting in themselves or their job or their finances. Right? Everyone has a God. Trust me, everyone has a God. Let's pray that they would serve the true God. Let's lift them up as we sing. Thank you. Pray for the lost around us, family members, friends, colleagues. Let's pray when the Lord knocks on their doors and the Spirit calls, they would listen. And this is literally life and death. And let's pray that they would choose life. Let's cover them. The Bible tells us that the enemy, right, blinds them. Let's pray those scales would come off their eyes. They would see the light of the gospel. Let's lift up. Let's pray. Pray over our community. Let's ask the Lord to bring healing into our community's life, family members, friends that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. To our mission focus, and let's pray today for Cambodia. Let's ask God to breathe His Spirit over this country. Particularly, let's pray for Grace Chung. Pray for the ministry at Bloom. Ask the Lord to continue to bless. Pray for Pastor Robert Oh, Minister of Vision to Reality, especially as he's finishing up his PhD. Pray for Pastor Tang at New Life Church, and we probably have about 3 trips again this summer into Cambodia to these different ministries. And let's ask for God's blessing and just the volunteers would really rise up and we'll be able to go and really bless Cambodia. So let's lift up. Pray for IP Well in Cascade. Let's thank God for our frontline warriors in prayer and in healing. Let's pray for our leaders and volunteers and every person that comes into these ministries that they would be touched by the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you. pray for our education ministries. Pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. I ask for God's hand to be upon each of their ministries. Pray for all the teachers and the pastors, and pray for all the students, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's also pray particularly for SPU. A little transition's coming as Pastor Hyunsoo's moving to Beijing and Pastor Ricky will step into this role. So just pray for a really smooth transition during this time. Let's lift up. Pray for our outreaches tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and for the homeless outreach. And let's pray for the volunteers as they come out, that there will be just really divine connections and appointments. Let's pray that the ministry will be effective as they go out. Pray for God's protection over them as well. House church meeting tonight, Soho, Robin Hood, and Austin West. Let's pray for the power of God to meet with each one of us as we gather together in His name. Let's just lift up the leaders and the worship, the word, the work. Pray for Holy Spirit to lead tonight. Let's pray for Jesus in Mongkok Church. If you could read on there, this is Pastor Ken Harley. This is in Easter of 2015, will mark the seventh year serving Jesus in Mongkok, Hong Kong. Pastor Ken sees Jesus' ministries and encouraging people in Mongkok and Hong Kong that we must follow Jesus. Let's just go down to, if you can please pray for Pastor Ken, his family, and friends, that they will continue to share Jesus' love with the lost and needy in Mongkok and in Hong Kong. Please pray for those in despair in Mongkok and throughout Hong Kong, that they will meet Jesus, the great shepherd, and they will rest in Him and experience His healing, love, and joy. Let's pray for Pastor Ken, his family, and the church there, Jesus in Mongkok Church. Let's pray. Thank you. Oh, we thank you, oh God, Lord. I ask you to bless Pastor Kent, God, and their church and their ministry. And I pray that the Lord will still be walking, God, through the streets of Mong Kok and just touching people and use them to do that, Father. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us, God, today as we seek you. Lord, help us to be mindful of the lost around us, God, and prayerfully and passionately, God, seek you on their behalf, Lord. And so thank you for the opportunities you give us to minister to our friends and family, Lord. Help us to be effective, God, in our witness, Lord. We love you, God. Watch over us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. I'll see you guys tomorrow.